was just last week, the day after the Sabbath, that Jesus had come into Jerusalem amid the cheering of the crowds, the seething anger of the religious establishment, the apprehension of the Roman government. Jesus would eat that last Passover that week with his disciples. He'd eaten the Passover with them in Jerusalem for the previous 2 years. But this time, the Passover that he ate with them would be different. It wasn't yet fully realized by his disciples, but this would be the last Passover in Jerusalem that they would eat with him. And the Passover Seder that they partook of that night would be different than the Seders, the dinners that they had taken part of with him before. Scripture reading for this evening is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26, verses 26 through 29. These words, inspired in Matthew by the Holy Spirit, are the Word of God. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Passover Seder, the meal that they ate, was instituted by God in Exodus chapter 12. It was instituted in preparation of God delivering them out of their bondage in Egypt. And it was to be a memorial that was to take place for them every year that God had delivered them. The description of the meal that we find in Exodus chapter 12 is sparse. There is, of course, the lamb. The lamb is central because it was the lamb that was to be slaughtered. Its blood was to be spread upon the doorposts of those who in faith believed God, and the angel of death passed by those houses. Exodus 12 also mentions bitter herbs that were to be a part of the meal because it was to remind them of their bitter slavery, their bitter hardship, and their bondage in Egypt. And there was the unleavened bread, which was to symbolize the haste with which they were being called upon to leave Egypt. But later on, that unleavened bread and the clearing of the house of leaven would take on another meaning. It would represent the cleaning out of our lives of sin. And in Exodus chapter 12, those are the only elements of the Seder that are mentioned. But in the course of time, other foods became traditional and were imbued with meaning. If any of you have friends who are Jewish, if you've ever participated or seen a Seder meal, you'll know that there are many more courses to that dinner, many more elements to it just than those three. And while the origins of the practice are debated, by Jesus' day, the Seder included four cups of wine that were to be drunk in a particular place within the dinner. They had a particular order and they had a particular significance and specific meaning. All four of the gospel writers mention the institution of what we have come to call the Lord's Supper that takes place in the Passover, and the elements of the Lord's Supper are a part of the Passover meal. But there's something a little different about the record of it in Luke's gospel, if you look at it, and that is that Luke mentions two cups. He mentions one cup, then he mentions Jesus taking the bread, and then he mentions Jesus taking another cup, and it's of that cup that he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And as you look at where those cups are placed, it becomes evident that what Luke is referring to there is the second and the third cup of the Passover. And the meaning with which these cups were imbued was taken from Exodus chapter 6 and verse 7, which says this, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment, and I will take you as my own people, and I will bring, and I will be your God. And so using those statements, I will bring you out was represented by the first cup, and that cup is drunk before the start of the Passover. It's the very beginning of the meal. The promise that God would separate his people from all that oppress them. I will free you. That second cup was shared then during the course of the meal as the meal was being eaten. It was the promise that God would not only separate his people from their oppression, but that he would free them from the tyranny of and the affection toward their oppressors. I will redeem you. The third cup was the promise of redemption, that God would ransom them, that he would purchase them. And that cup would be taken after the supper, right after the passing and the eating of the unleavened bread. Which bread was accompanied by the words, this is the bread of affliction, which our fathers ate in Egypt. Let all who hunger come and eat. And I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. That cup was the conclusion of the Seder. And it was that cup which Jesus did not drink. It was that cup of which he said, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus abstracted just a few elements from that Seder dinner. He abstracted the unleavened bread. He abstracted this third cup of wine. But it's important for us to understand as Christians that Jesus was not abbreviating that meal, not cutting it short by doing so. He was in fact extending it and making it a perpetual meal. The Passover meal now lingers frozen in time, as it were, between the third and fourth cups, between I will redeem you and I will come and receive you to myself. You will be my people and I will be your God. And when we, after Jesus' command in that supper that he ate with his disciples, telling them to take the bread, to take the cup, as a precursor to his going to the cross, when we observe this supper, the bitter herbs are no longer present for us, for we have been brought out and freed by Christ. And when we partake of this supper, the lamb is no longer present. Do you know why? It's because the Lamb is present. That is to say, what the Lamb of the Passover represented, or better, who the Lamb of the Passover represented, has come. And in fact, the Lamb is more present at this supper to those who eat in faith than ever he was at any Passover Seder. And the bread is present, the bread of affliction, but it's been imbued with new meaning. It's no longer the bread of affliction for us, but it's the bread representing the body of Christ who was smitten and afflicted for us. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, we're told that whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes. Until he comes. And why will he come? What will he do when he comes? Listen to the words of Jesus from John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me so that where I am, you may be also. And on the day that that happens, Jesus will drink the final cup with us. The cup which proclaims, I will take you to be my own people. You will be my people, and I will be your God. The Apostle John wrote, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. On this Good Friday, we drink the cup. It's the same cup that we drink whenever we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's the third cup of the Passover, the cup that proclaims, I will redeem. And the meal of redemption that the Passover was has not been done away with. It's not been substantially changed. Nor has it been cut short, but it's been prolonged, frozen at a point in time. It's been prolonged until the end of the age so that the church may proclaim the death of Christ and salvation in his name until he comes. And when he comes, he will, together with all of his redeemed people, drink that last cup. The cup that proclaims, I have taken you to myself. And I will live in your presence as perceptibly as you have always lived in mine. And you will be my people. And I will be your God.